All right, today's podcast is brought to you by ASAT Camo. Our co-host Joe works with ASAT, and we absolutely love their camo design. Our host Jared's been rocking ASAT for over 5 years now, and he's turned me into a big fan. If you want to buy some of their camo, go to asatcamo.com. The next sponsor for this Hot Boga podcast is Stoker Ice Stabilizer, so can't say enough about their quality. They're American-made, and they just do wonders for kind of get your groups tighter with your bow. And we're also sponsored by Black Eagle Arrows, so they have helped us a ton as Jared and I have switched to traditional archery. We're shooting their vintage shafts, and I can say that they're extremely high quality and durable. I got the judo points, and I've been shooting at stumps for a couple weeks now, which is one of my most favorite things to do, and had a couple misses, you could say, and their shafts have been wonderful. We're also sponsored by Sturka. Sturka makes phenomenal glass. We run the S7s. I can't say enough about the quality and especially their warranty. You can send them in once a year for a cleaning, for a refurbish, and all you have to do is pay for the shipping there. So definitely worth checking out. Next, we're brought to you by Seek Outside. I don't know if you guys know anything about the ultralight camping industry, but Seek Outside is definitely the leader. We absolutely love their packs, and we'll be running them for a long time now and probably a few TVs too. So definitely check them out. Go to seekoutside.com. To learn more. Our favorite bow company is our next sponsor for Hot Boga. It's New Breed Archery. They make custom handmade bows, whether you are ordering a compound bow or an RK1 that Jared and I are shooting. They can get you custom coloring. Jared's got one, and ASAT camo that looks phenomenal, and they just flat out shoot. If you're looking for a bow, if you're looking for something that you can customize in color and feel, give Kyle a call or check out newbreedarchery.com. Finally, our last sponsor today is Northern Broadheads. We shoot their single bevel 125 grade broadheads coming out the end of our Black Eagle arrows. They are made in Australia. They make phenomenal quality. Adam is a great guy who definitely pours himself into the product that he makes. So if you're looking for a broadhead, they make anything from 100 I think up to 200 grade, 185 and some more unique weights. Definitely check it out at northernbroadheads.co.nz.
That was like my prized possession, this tree bark hat, because yep. It had a face net that came out of it.
Oh yeah, I've
so
had
I didn't
one
have
of those.
To wear
yeah.
The handmade one. So I was like, you know, that was my prized possession. I'm wearing it actually looks like I'm wearing a dress because I'm wearing one of my dad's woodland camo jackets that comes down to my knee. And I didn't even really have true camo pants on. I kind of had like a black type pant on. I mean, it was just, I mean, I'll never forget it. And my dad will never forget it. Heck, I mean, God rest his soul. But like every time we got together with Jim, that was the conversation. Because Jim heard me call and he goes, it sounded like a damn dying dog up there. And he said, boom, this gobbler's going nuts.
You sent us that picture, so when we go live with this podcast, I want to post it with this with the picture of you as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd look good. Well, actually, why don't we stop here and introduce the podcast before we keep going. All right, I'll start. So this is Hot Boga, and it's brought to you by ASAT Camo. I'm James, and I'm here with Jared.
What's going on, everybody?
And we met Joe from ASAT. I feel like we've known you for a while, Joe, but I think it's only been a couple months, maybe four or five months.
Yeah. We just kind of clicked, though. It has felt like, it feels like we've known each other a lot longer now.
I think I talked to you on average about a half an hour on the phone a week, which is on par with my wife, so.
It's bro status.
That's right.
I think it's a bro status.
That's just because you can't get me to shut up.
Yeah, that's, well, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, we were talking a bit and kind of working together on some things, and we thought we might as well go into a podcast. So this is our first kind of introductory podcast that I wanted to use to introduce us from the Hot Boga side and you, Joe, from ASAT, and kind of set the stage for some of the guests that we've got coming on who are pretty exciting. So why don't we start off? So Joe, we've heard a little bit about you. Jared, why don't you tell us a little bit about you? So start off with about you, like your family, who you are, and then tell me what, you know, got you into hunting.
Sheesh, right on the spot. All right. Everybody, my name's Jared. Let's see. Grew up West Michigan, born and raised, go Sparties. I right now have a beautiful wife with a 2-year-old daughter and a 5-month-old son. So the household is quite busy right now, but we love it. I got into hunting.
But wait, I want to stop a sec. Jared and I have known each other since high school. Actually, we met in like seventh grade.
Seventh grade, yeah.
We kind of hit it off. And we met in high school, started hunting in high school. And really in college is how we obtained most of our protein in college. When we didn't have any money, we hunted and shot a ton of deer together. Just wanted to make sure that was clear because that's how we got to know each other.
Yep. So, yeah. Where was I going with that? You totally interrupted me.
How'd you get into hunting?
Got into hunting through my dad, which is, I'm sure, through like a lot of people. You know, he takes you out for the first time. You sit down. Don't really know what you're doing yet, but you feel cool because you have camo and a gun with you. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we would go up north. For those of you who don't know, if you look at the Michigan map, it's up near Baldwin, Wexford area. We used to go up there and hunt around for deer, but we didn't really see anything because there's a ton of hunting pressure up there.
It's getting better now.
It is getting better.
We got the APR zone there.
Yep, we've been seeing a lot more bucks up there.
We camp there every year. We see.
We do. We tried to.
You saw a bear last year, didn't you?
That was like 3 years ago, man.
Not like last year. No, it wasn't last year.
That was a long time ago.
You did see a bear, which is cool.
We did, yeah. That was a cool sighting. But, yeah, and I went on a solo camping trip last year and saw a bunch of good deer.
You doing that again this year?
I might be. You should. Might be taking a different location. That's what I try like to do.
Yeah.
Different location every year.
Being alone out in the woods.
It'll change you.
Yeah,
it'll change your life. But, yeah, that's me. I don't know. That's me in a nutshell. I've just kicked it up ever since. I really like bow hunting more than gun hunting. I feel like gun hunting is just a little bit too easy. But
yeah, we shot a lot of deer with guns together. I was with you when you shot two within 5 minutes.
That was a good closing day. That was the last day of gun season.
Yeah, I remember hearing boom, and 10 minutes later I heard boom. I didn't see anything. I think you shot freezer, man. It got to me, but yeah, I mean, in college, Joe, I don't know if I've ever told you this. College, Jared and I lived together. Didn't have a lot of money, but we would go. We would hunt like more than I'd be in class, mm-hmm. and more than I'd go to any dorm activities or anything like that. I met my wife, and she hardly saw me in the fall. I met her at college because Jared and I would go, and the way that we would woo the ladies is we would shoot a deer, we'd butcher it ourselves because we didn't have any money for processing, which was awesome because you learned so much that way. And then we would serve it to the girls that we would be wooing, who would eventually be Laura, my wife. And I feel like that really won him over. She proved
it did,
our
man.
Worth.
Well,
it worked.
It helped too that I went to culinary school for a little bit.
You did.
So,
yeah, you had some skills.
You know, I'll add a little splash of flavor here and there. And
what's that, Tom?
Call it backstraps.
Established value. What is it from? It's the dentist system. The dentist system. Yeah, established value. Yeah, demonstrate value. Yeah, that's what we were focusing on.
This must be a Michigan thing because. This is a very similar story to Brunella and his, I think it was his brother that in college, and that's how they procured a lot of their food.
I'm a big Brunella fan. I've heard that story. Absolutely.
And then, you know what? It translates right to Pennsylvania because I went to Clarion and I definitely set my schedule for hunting. And then I went to classes on the side.
Oh yeah.
It's priorities. You got to set your priorities.
And that's what I ate. I ate deer and I ate turkey. Yeah. That's what I ate in college. And ramen noodles. Who doesn't? I mean, you got to eat them. They were the side.
Yeah, and you're in college. I mean, if you didn't eat ramen noodles, did you even have the experience?
No.
So,
yeah,
so
not.
We
I
did that.
Definitely didn't have the silver spoon.
Right. Well, what I should say is a lot of the hunting Jared and I did was, speaking of Steve Rinella, like literally in the same woods that he hunted growing up. He's mentioned it on his podcast in the Haymarsh State Game.
Good old Haymarsh.
We still hunt there every year, but that's where he would trap and stuff. I think I read it in his book or podcast or something, but he's a West Michigan guy too. So.
Yeah, that's cool. It's a small world. It's a very small world.
Yeah, it is. It's funny how that works. Well, Joe, why don't you tell us about, I know we know some of your, what got you into hunting now, but why don't you give a little bit of your background, your personal background?
My name's Joe Fisher, and then right now I kind of moonlight, and I do work for ASAT Camo. It's out of Stephenville, Montana. You guys heard kind of how I got into turkey hunting with the story with my dad, where once I start talking, it's hard to shut me up. So, at any time you guys, you know, give me the, since we can't see each other, just yell at me.
We'll literally just mute you.
Yeah.
We're like, all right, time to shut up, Joe.
Well, that works too. You guys got the controls.
That's right.
You know, I'm happy I got good service where I'm at, and you guys can hear me and I can hear you.
Good.
But I'm actually from Pennsylvania, and like I said, I do some work for ASAC Camo.
Yep.
A lot of their media and different things. And then I work as a police officer full time. I am as blue collar as they come.
Yep.
I love hunting. I love getting dirty. I like being outside. I got two beautiful children, a daughter and a son, a beautiful wife who can be supporting and can be, yeah, you know how it is with a wife. She thinks I'm crazy, but I put a lot of passion into everything I do, and I'm really looking forward to this and getting to talk to some different people, and I truly enjoy the outdoors. I went to college, and after I was, as I was graduating college, I actually worked full-time in the outdoor industry, in the hunting industry. And
how did you get in the hunting industry?
It's funny because I met the guy I ended up working for upon graduation at a flea market almost. It was a big local, like a yard sale almost, but with like local businesses were there and stuff like that. And, I met this guy and I ended up working for them for a few years. And unfortunately it ended up not working out. The company went under. But at the end, it was almost a relief because it took a lot of the joy out of hunting. I mean, hunting was a family event, a tradition, a social, so to speak, with my dad, my brothers, my grandpa. And it took a lot of that away from it. It really did. And this time back around, I have this passion, same passion for the outdoors and hunting, and I love gear, and I love, I like the tactics involved, and it's got to be fun this time. And if it turns back into work, I'm done again. I'm going. I have a kid that I want hunting to be that escape from reality, so to speak, because the world isn't getting any better around us, and hunting is that pure place where I can go and leave it all behind.
Right.
And with my job comes a lot of, I see the worst of people.
I can imagine you see,
I do.
No, that's good. So I interrupted. I asked about your background as a police officer. Your family you've covered. You talked about who you are as a hunter. How'd you meet Rob, and ASAT? How'd you get involved there?
Me and Rob had crossed paths a long time ago. And we're not even, when we first talked, we both had this vague recollection of each other, but we really weren't sure. And I had done a lot of hunting shows after college working for this unnamed company. Because I have nothing bad to say about them, but we'll leave it as it is.
Sure.
And, but it opened my eyes. So it was a great learning experience. So we ended up talking because I'd always loved ASAC Camo. And when I worked with the hunting industry, my boss at the time was a big predator guy. And I did not like it. And so I called Rob and I'm like, yeah, I'm a freelancer now. I'm calling Rob. So I gave him a call and he got me set up with some ASAT. And we talked on the phone for forever that night. And then we revisited one thing just kind of led to another, and here I am. Rob's good people. He's just a good guy, and we just hit it off. Obviously, I think he sees the same thing in me as he sees in himself, and we have similar ideas, and he's just got a great business model and a great he's got great personal views, and he's a family man. I don't just endorse the company as I use ASAC Camo and I do stuff for them. And, he's becoming like that extended family. Like I value him in our relationship and the things he does for others. And, I really like him.
Yeah.
I would do just about anything to help him or his family out.
Well, you got like a fanboy here in Jared at ASAT.
Don't get me started.
So, like years ago, Jared got into ASAT and like thought it was the coolest thing. And of course, I think I was wearing either First Light at the time, which is great.
We don't talk about it.
And Sitka. Then I switched to Sitka, and what I liked it was them being great stuff. But we'd always be out in the woods, and I'd be like, Jared, I can hardly see you right now. He'd be, you know, 20 yards away, and you would think, looking at the pattern, that, you know, it doesn't look like a tree. Like, how does it work? But I would always be like, Jared, I'm taking a picture of you right now. I can't even see you except for your, you know, your green boots. And so
it's the coolest camo out there.
Oh yeah, it's the coolest camo out there. And so he convinced me by it working.
Not to look at in Walmart or in another big box store, because we're not there. And but not only that, inside a hunting store, that's not where you look at camo. You look at camo in the woods. And most camo is marketed and designed for the hunter's eye to attract your eye. And that's not ASAT. We're developed, and we've never changed, because what we have is what works in the woods when you're hunting.
Yeah. Yeah, we've started to use, all of us now used your stuff, and can't say enough about how nice it works. You know, we've tried your merino quite extensively. Mm-hmm. Now, I went on a 5-mile hike. It was like 90 degrees out, and I'm like, I'm just throwing merino on to see what happened. I mean, first of all, it didn't stink, which was amazing, because I sweat.
You're kind of a stinky guy anyway.
I sweat through everything. And it like dried me. It was incredible. So, you know, you get some of that itch with a new merino and a lot of stuff you get, but I didn't have that. So it was really impressive.
Yeah. And they always say you got to be confident in the gear that you have with you out in the woods or in whatever you're doing. And having that camouflage on, it's just, I have all the confidence in the world with it just from personal experience.
Oh,
and
it's
from,
definitely
yeah.
a lot of metal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as you bring up our merino, the Bedrock line, and it's, you know, it's new. And you're seeing ASAT. A lot of guys have used ASAT as the cotton camo company.
Yeah, right.
I get it a lot on media. You know, you guys got anything besides cotton? Oh yeah, we are changing. It's, you know, and we're running that slogan right now, tradition meets technology, on our Instagram. And it's because we have the same camo pattern from the early 80s when it was created by a group of bow hunters in Pennsylvania. It's the same camo now as it was then. The pattern never changed. The colors have never changed because they work. And the common sense science behind it, and the more elaborate, like the fight or flight mechanisms, those are built into that pattern. And then that's never going to change. And they work. And you'll never see that change. But what you are seeing changing is we're getting tech fabric.
Sure.
We're getting the merino. And our merino is high quality. It's really pure merino. It's good stuff. You don't get the itch. You don't get the lingering odors. If you have the problem with that. Merino is good. Merino doesn't stink, and good merino doesn't itch.
Yeah.
And Rob's not cutting any corners with that Bedrock. It is good merino.
No, I like that.
It wears better. It washes better. It does. It's a better product.
Yeah, I like that. We've been wearing that. And the other one I really liked is the Highwood hoodie. I've been wearing that all the. That thing is sweet.
That's an awesome piece. That's my go-to piece.
Yeah.
I mean, it's warm. It's breathable. I mean, it sheds water. I mean, for being a hoodie. And it's like a 2-layer bonded fleece is what it is, which has great, you know, warmth retention, but it also will, it breathes out. And then the outer layer is quiet, yet it'll shed water.
Oh, yeah.
It's a cool piece.
Yeah. It's a nice
cool piece. From, you know, hunting with turkey, you know, hunting turkey, hunting deer, hunting elk, it doesn't matter. It's great. And it got the full half zip in to let the heat out. When you're walking, I mean, it's a really cool piece for layering or to wear outside as an outer layer.
Yeah, we like it. Me and Tom are going to be taking it elk hunting this year. Hopefully Tom fares better than last year, and maybe that's a story for another podcast, but last year we had a rough camp.
That's all right.
But you're still totally, you're still
alive.
Totally better.
He's kicking.
Yeah, he's still alive. Turns out getting wet and real cold can take its physical toll on your body.
It'll happen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
That's not good.
Yeah. All right. So we've kind of done a couple introductions, and I know we're all excited to talk way more about ASAT and our future here with the podcast at Hopoga. But Jimmy, we have not heard from you yet. So yeah. tell us a little about you. Where do you come from? Why'd you get into hunting?
He was getting out of it.
I know he did. I can see him over sitting over there.
I was just
smiling
down
a little bit.
This is what
you know
I did
what?
In class. You hide in the back.
Old Rod knows.
Yeah, so I'm from West Michigan, the Grand Rapids area. Went to school here, met Jared here, like I said. Went to college here, then moved actually past you east, Joe, into New Jersey. Went to law school out there for a few years. And actually, even though I'd been hunting my whole life a ton, when I lived in the city, as all of a sudden I'm like, I am missing hunting more. I didn't know I missed it this much. So I started listening actually to podcasts back then, back where there weren't a whole bunch of them. I started listening to, I think it was the Wired to Hunt podcast with Mark Kenyon, who's another West Michigan guy, which is cool. Came back and started hunting a ton again. But yeah, so I've got a daughter who is, she would tell you she's 5 3/4. So her birthday is about 3 weeks away. So her birthday is the day after mine. So I'm turning 30 this year and she's turning 6, which is absolutely fantastic. She's my hunting buddy.
I thought I was your hunting buddy.
But she's my other hunting
buddy.
Okay. You're the OG hunting buddy.
Thank you.
So, you talked about how you got into hunting. So I had the same thing. You know, my dad got me into hunting. He would go every year as a kid, he'd take me when I was really young. I'd sit with him, and I remember he would go away hunting, and I'd be waiting till it got dark. So then he would call my mom, so I got to hear the story of what happened. And so, you know, to me, stories of hunting have always been, you know, like one of the things I like most about hunting. Like, what do you got to tell the guys when you get back to camp? So he got me really into hunting. You know, I have an Uncle John, who got me into bow hunting a ton. So when I was 12 years old, I got a bow for my parents, and my Uncle John gave me arrows. He gave me his old hunting stuff. I mean, he would bring me hunting. He actually subscribed me to hunting magazines. He's just a great guy and a really cool guy. So he got me, I remember he actually picked me up for my first hunt. I lived in Grand Rapids. He'd pick me up. We'd go to Big Rapids to hunt. He was going.
It's a long trip for him because he came up
from Indiana.
Yeah.
So he'd pick me up. I remember we slept that night. We got up super early, you know. He'd paint his face, and it would be like a cool thing. He showed me how to paint my face and stuff like that. He walked another way, and I remember I walked, you know, I'd have to walk down the road, and my stand was literally, you know, 30 yards off the road, and it was from our cottage, maybe 400 yards walking, and maybe as the, you know, crow flies, like 150 yards. It was just like not that far away.
About five stone throws.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I remember I was 12. I remember walking. He's like, you got to walk this way. You know where the stand is. So I'm walking and it's dark and I'm 12 and I got this, you know, the all off season. I'm like, this is my weapon. It feels so powerful. And as I'm walking through woods, I'm like, this is literally a stick and string. Like, I can't even believe that this is going to kill anybody. And, I'm walking and I'm scared. You know, I'm literally saying Psalm 23 out loud to myself. Cause I'm terrified. So I finally get to the stand, climb up, and 20 minutes after shooting, after the sun comes up, maybe, I see a giant doe and a little doe and like a 5-point buck come. So they're walking right at me, and I'm shaking like crazy, and they walk maybe 15 feet away from my stand. I'm like, yes, you know. I pull back. I shoot. Obviously, I'm taking a shot at the buck. You know, I'm 12. I'm seeing a 5-point. This is like, you know,
Michigan trophy.
It's a Michigan,
you know,
trophy.
You don't see a 5-point every day.
Yeah. And so obviously I missed by like 2 feet over its back. But I was that was the moment that like sealed the deal. I will be hunting for the rest of my life, kind of a thing, because I was so excited. Like, I can't wait to get back to tell the guys I saw a 5-point. I missed him, but I saw him and I couldn't believe it worked out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, between my uncle, my dad, and then I had a cousin named Scotty a couple years older than me, who would take me out fishing and hunting quite a bit. I mean, those three guys, you know, were the reasons that I got into hunting. So that's my backstory.
Cool.
And then Jared and I met, you know, we got big, big into hunting together. First, it was hunting the established stands that people had been hunting at my cottage for years, until Jared and I figured out, hey, there's a lot of state land and you can just walk out and kind of figure it out for yourself. And so once we started doing that, I mean, hunting even got more and more fun. We practice, we shoot together a lot.
Yep.
Scout together. So Yeah, that's why, you know, it's cool to have this podcast because, you know, and you will see this quite a bit with some of the guests we have. But we get to learn a ton. And so, you know, any questions that we think of, it's kind of cool to be able to ask, like, the masters that we'll have on the podcast. So we got...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
One of the first guys we've got coming on will be real, real helpful.
Very excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just as excited as you guys. I can't wait. I'm by no means an expert. I'm a guy like any other guy in a room. I'm a blue collar guy. I love bow hunting. I love turkey hunting. I love anything that involves hunting, fishing, yeah, camping, the outdoors. And I love talking to other guys that do it because that's where you learn.
Yeah, and that's the whole purpose of this podcast. I mean, let's learn from guys. And big, you know, what's their hunting stories? I love to hear hunting stories. And I think we got some pretty cool things we're going to do with some hunting stories coming up. But it's, you know, that's what, you know, the camaraderie, it's learning to, you know, for me, it was like learning to know what a man is like, how a man speaks and tells stories and acts. A big part of that comes from hunting. So really excited about this.
And a lot of life lessons.
Yep, absolutely. And
there's no doubt about that.
A big thing that Jared and I are going to be probably talking about is our, and Joe, you know about this now too, is our switch. Jared and I have made the dreaded switch. So Joe knows, but for people that aren't listening, is Jared, that haven't heard before, but Jared and I are switching to traditional archery.
Big switch.
So we just ordered our RK1s
from New Breed Archery.
Great partner of ours.
Yep.
Custom bows,
they're
and so
incredible looking.
Yeah, oh yeah,
Jared's has been all over Instagram. His ASAT camo. Did you see the strings he just posted about too, Joe? Those things are sick.
I just saw them. They look great. The whole bow, I can't wait to see it put together.
Oh,
no, me too.
It's gonna look awesome.
They just keep teasing me, and
the pieces look awesome.
Yeah, they do. And together, I'm imagining that thing's gonna be sick. We gotta get you a quiver, yeah.
I know they're definitely hooking it up over there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So we'll be talking about
the best thing about it. The best thing about it for you guys is you're not in college anymore, and you're not relying on venison.
You can go to the store.
No, I got a whole chicken wing at home.
It might be tag soup this year.
That's right. Yeah, I'm guessing. You know, I'm gonna definitely come home with a deer.
Although I kind of feel if you hunt hungry,
you're hunk better.
You hunt a little better.
So you should stop eating now.
The instinctive hunt. You are hungry, I'm going to kill something.
Yeah. It's your playoff beard.
I'll
but
tell you what, you guys, you got your work cut out for you. You got a few short months. You guys got work cut out for you to get dialed in.
That's right. Well, we got some nice glass that just came in from Steerco that we're going to be posting about a little bit here. And hopefully then we can see them coming at least. We won't be hunting the engine block out in the field.
No.
Exactly. Well, you know what? Going back here a minute from what you guys are saying and about the hunting stories, and maybe you guys can relate because I'm a little bit older than you guys. I'm 37.
Yeah, that's old.
But when
what
I,
a geezer.
Growing up, I mean, obviously, I just relished and just loved hearing the stories at hunting camp. We had a camp up north. And then hearing, you know, when I was, like, if I had football practice or whatever, and my dad mainly coached football, and I'm following right in my father's footsteps, becoming the man he was with my children. And I'm coaching a lot of sports, and I'm involved in a lot of the stuff. But the days where I couldn't go out with him, I loved when he came home. And as he was gearing down and putting his stuff away, hearing what he saw, yeah, and from the squirrels to the birds to the deer that, yeah, wasn't in range. But then whenever I started hunting, we still had landlines. There was no such thing as cell phones.
Oh, sure, yeah. You don't know.
So every night, me and, like, there was, like, seven of us in high school. We were tight, and we hunted together when we could. But we would burn up them phones. As soon as it got dark, you knew my house phone was ringing. Somebody was calling.
Yep.
And you were racing to get the phone because you were hoping somebody hit something.
Sure.
Because your lanterns were already ready to go blood trailing if yeah, they did.
Yes. The best words at night after you come in are... I got one.
Yeah.
I shot one. Let's go tracking.
Yeah.
That was like the best. And even if no one got one, you would be on the phone to your parents, yelled at you to do your homework.
Sure.
Because you're talking about hunting and what you saw and what you didn't see and what you're going to do tomorrow. And that was awesome. And I hope my kid gets to experience that with has buddies that are into it and they talk like that, because the world, I mean, it's changing with, like, they'll probably be texting about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jared and I text all the time on the woods.
Communication.
Sure. Oh, we started when Jared and I first started hunting. We'd bring remember those walkie talkies we'd bring.
Of course.
We couldn't get very far away from each other because they wouldn't reach. And they would always make like a right before it, like, so it's like,
yes,
it was not a good system.
No.
But now I'd be like, Jared, look alive. There's deer coming your way.
Which helps.
Text him. Yeah, it helps. Because he's, you know, he's sitting there sleeping.
Yeah, now
I don't sleep. Heck. I wait.
Heck, even I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. I'll be playing on my phone in a tree stand or in a ground blind. And I'd like to say I've never had that burn me, but obviously it has, because as I bring it up, it's, yeah, I mean, cell phones have changed the way we communicate. But I think I really hope that link isn't lost. I mean, it's been going on for eons. The storytelling of the hunt and around a campfire, or, you know, over a landline, or, you know, around the poker table at camp.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the tradition of hunting is built into that storytelling.
Right.
And I really hope that's not lost. And I'm thinking, and as we're on this podcast, and there's a ton of podcasts out there, I think we as hunters and sportsmen realize that, and that's kind of the fight back is with these podcasts, against everything being text or written. We're still trying to communicate verbally and orally.
Yeah, just telling a good, nothing better than a good hunting story. You can lie a little bit. You can, stretch the truth a little bit. I saw, the 6-point turns into an 8-point. You know, just outside of its ears. Now it's way outside of its ears.
A shot, it hit a twig. Yeah, only you shot 3 feet over.
You get more excuses. You get creative. Yeah. So, well.
And twisting your screw up to make yourself look the best you can.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. And whoever has the most entertaining story is the one, that's the guy you're looking for all the time. You want to hear his story.
That's right.
You realize there's probably a little bit of BS in them, but boy, are they entertaining.
You want the BS, and I just remember growing up thinking, like, there's a couple guys in camp. You know, one guy always, Ron Knightum, would always tell, like, hilarious stories we'd hunt with. But it's like, there's always that guy who's, like, kind of the camp star, who has funny stories everybody looks to like, you know, replay their time. And, like, nothing could have happened, but they'll still tell a good story about it. So, well, good. Well, Joe, I think, you know, I wanted this to be a shorter one, just to introduce. Obviously, this is Hot Boga, presented by ASAT. It's going to be hunting stories, some things we're going to learn together. So I don't know. Jared, Joe, you guys have any finishing
closing
thoughts, final remarks? Jared, you go ahead.
I'm just excited to get going on this. We've got a lot of good guests lined up. We're going to have some good discussions, good questions.
And Jared, I'm just going to point out right now, Jared brought a water bottle with booze in it. I think he was trying to sneak it in. We're not sure if Jack was going to allow any booze drinking into the podcast studio. I told him not to.
It is Friday.
So, Joe, you got any closing thoughts?
I mean, you don't want to get me going. I get going and then we'll.
All right, here comes the mute. All right.
Podcast,
yeah. No. Yeah, exactly. I'm just excited. I really am. And like I said earlier, I got a busy schedule. And that's life, but I'm going to be here as much as I can. Sometimes I might I might be tuning in as I'm driving between places or something, but I'll be here because I think it's a great thing. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's fun. Good, it's good to have you around. You're a good dude. I'm glad we met, and I think this is, we have a lot of fun together. So, all right. Well, once again, this is Hot Boga. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again soon.
Bye, everybody.